Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday. All ready to roll live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. It is great to have you in. Giannis is a two-time MVP. Chris Paul can't get nominated. You see what happened last night? It's why we call the MVP a useless award. Joy Taylor.
Good morning. Yeah, the internet couldn't wait to tell me a couple days ago how ridiculous that take was. So I'm sure we're going to catch it today. But I already agree.
Well, I mean, you could certainly, let's start with this. You could blame the head coach. That's like a cottage industry. Blame Mike Budenholzer. I tend to, you know, not blame the coach. But I think in this instance, he's done nothing to adjust. I mean, the game was over like 6 minutes in. I think Budenholzer is on his way out. That's why I said fire Brad Stevens at your peril. By the way, if you're wondering why the Celtics moved Brad Stevens upstairs, this is it. Because he would take over for Budenholzer, and the Celtics would have to face Brad Stevens for the next 7 years. That's a different day and a different rant. But, I mean, it's not Budenholzer's fault, nor would it be Brad Stevens' fault if he coached the Bucks, that Chris Middleton is now 13 for 43, and Drew Holiday, who's a very good player, can't stay in front of Kyrie Irving. Good luck, nobody can. Milwaukee does not have the ammo and a very weak game plan. This feels like Tom Brady last year in New England, where he's screaming at receivers. They just don't have enough ammo, and you're trying to beat Kansas City. You know, we say it in the NFL all the time, and it's kind of understood now. Like, we don't even argue this anymore. When all else fails, like, draft a wide receiver. They're just so much more valuable than a linebacker in today's game. If you've got a coaching opening, hire an offensive guy. Yeah, but Sean McVay is only 32. Hire an offensive guy. Just figure it out later. Dak Prescott, $40 million. Half the league thinks makes complete sense. Like, we understand that in football. The rules have changed. Just, it's almost negligence if you don't draft a wide receiver every year. I'd argue two. I mean, look at what Green Bay not drafting a receiver has done to the Aaron Rodgers-Packers relationship. It's an offensive league. Well, this is what is happening in the NBA. Now, they took the hand check away over a decade ago. You can't use your forearm to lean on guys. But now the game is so international. Basketball is so international. There is an explosion of offensive basketball talent in the world right now, coupled with the defensive limitations. It's a picks and screens. Even if you're a great defensive player, you can't stay on your guy. When all else fails, just draft offense. I mean, KD, Kyrie, and Harden, for the first time ever, a basketball team in the playoffs. The playoffs is where the good defensive teams are. In the playoffs, is going to shoot 90% from the free throw line, 42% from free threes, and 50% from field goal range. Twos. That's never happened before. I mean, Trae Young, a flawed player who doesn't really care about defense, is carrying Atlanta. You can't stop Ja Morant. Zion is breaking Wilt Chamberlain's records. Luka is breaking Michael Jordan's records. Dame is breaking everybody's records. And Steph is breaking Dame's records. You can't stop anybody. We understand in football, hire an offensive coach. I mean, Tibbs, great defensive coach. Knicks, great chemistry, great defense. Can't compete in the playoffs. Brooklyn is a poor defensive team. Not even top 20. Irrelevant. We just got to come to terms with basketball right now. The world's best basketball players, and it is a world's game. Money's with the offense. The coaching money's with the offense. The plan money, the bench money, the assistant money. Steve Nash has never coached. D'Antoni, doesn't matter. Offense, that's the name of the game. Get more players. This entire series has been such an advertisement for offensive basketball. I mean, Milwaukee does everything right. They play defense. They've got their chemistry. They've got the veteran coach. They've got health. None of it matters. Just throw KD and Blake Griffin and Kyrie and Harden, although he hasn't played much yet, and they'll just figure it out and they'll win. And I just think we just got to come to terms with it. When Trae Young got drafted, I remember just hearing people, can't play defense, he's too small, he's got attitude. Doesn't matter. You can't stop him. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, there were a lot of people argued Ja over Zion. Can we both make this argument? They're both unstoppable. Zion's breaking Wilt's records. Ja will blow through all of Westbrook's records. So, I mean, I think when you see what's happening with analytics and basketball is, I mean, this is really an amazing thing. Durant and Kyrie Irving, two games against the Bucks, 60% from the field, 57% from three-point line. And if you notice this, I noticed it a lot, not only with Steph Curry, but you're really noticing it now with Damian Lillard's out of the playoffs. You notice it with Luka. Is that it used to be when guys hit threes, they were close to the line. They're not even close to the line. They're closer to the logo. And this is what is happening in the NFL, is that young players globally in basketball see where the money is on shooting threes. So that's all they do. Young kids always start trends. Well, it's the same thing in high school football. The great kids all want to play quarterback and wide receiver. California has 39 million people. On average, the last 5 years, two legitimate big-time running backs. Each year, 25 wide receivers, eight top quarterbacks. Everybody comes to California to get the quarterbacks. Michigan does. Pac-12 schools do. Alabama just did. Clemson just did. Notre Dame just did. California is a culture center, is a trend center in this nation. The kids here are smart. There's no money in running back. Money's a quarterback and wide receiver. You can't believe how many great quarterbacks and wide receivers there are. And you watch basketball right now and you watch football. The money's in wide receiver, not running back. The money's in offense. Hell with defense. I don't want to hear it anymore. Stop drafting bigs who can't shoot. Stop worrying about defense. Just go get Trae Young. I mean, Milwaukee does everything right. Can't compete in the series, and Harden's not even playing. Nothing Brooklyn has works in the playoffs. Bad defense, rookie head coach, Harden's hurt, chemistry, they never play together. All blown out because they just got better offensive players. By the way, I'm not against it. I'm here for it. The games are fun. Okay, so Chris Paul. Oh, Chris Paul. I don't know if anybody remembers I thought Chris Paul should have been MVP. But the MVP, like the Heisman Trophy, is overwhelmingly useless. It is about stats. And you know, let's be honest about this, is that in the NBA, you've got to be really good to stars or they shut you out. So Chris Paul's getting old. You don't have to vote him MVP. He's not going to shut you out. But you want to make sure you take care of the stars, all the writers. But last night was a prime example. Denver takes like a 10-point lead in the third quarter. It's the moment. It's the moment. This is where we need you. This is where the MVP step up. From that point forward, how was Jokic? Not great. He's going to win MVP. From that point forward, trailing by 10, Chris Paul went 6-for-6 rest of the game field goals, 3-for-3 free throws, 1-for-1 on threes, led the Suns in points, assists, and led everybody in the building in plus minus. That's called an MVP. Seize the moment. Not about the first quarter, not about the second. And what's really amazing about Chris Paul, and this is not a little thing, it is a massive thing. We all know last year was an exception. Young guys were good in the bubble, right? The playoffs are about veterans. The playoffs have always been about old guys, LeBron and Kawhi and James Harden and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. That's what the playoffs have always been about. Dame, not about kids. Chris Paul goes to Phoenix. He's playing with kids. DeAndre Ayton's 22. Booker's 24. Cam Johnson's 25. Mikal Bridges, 24. And what makes that more impressive, so Jokic has been in the Denver system with the head coach for 6 years. They were out of sorts because they lost Jamal Murray, right? Chris Paul has been in Phoenix 7 months. With kids, and add this, in a condensed season. This has been a bad year for practice. Like, this was the worst practice year in league history. Nobody practiced. Guys, you're playing too many games. You know, every other night you got a game. You have time for practice. Guys are getting rest. And Chris Paul walks in 7 months, and this is what you get? Phoenix has been a disaster for 11 years. Last three, it's all the same guys. Like, does everybody understand what he's doing here? 7 months, bad practice year, condensed schedule, bunch of kids, they're great. We so undervalue in basketball intelligence and feel for the game because they're so hard to quantify. It's not a stat. That guy is smart. Prove it to me. He's got a great feel for the game. Prove it to me. I don't have a stat for it. Westbrook's got great stats. But Westbrook doesn't play smart basketball all the time. Doesn't have a great feel for the game. Chris Paul, new system, new coach, new teammates, young kids. He not only wins, he wins instantly everywhere. New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Phoenix. He goes to Houston, won 65 games. With a difficult at times to play with James Harden. So, you know, I've always had this feeling. The smarter people in the world figure stuff out more quickly. Chris Paul's Einstein in the NBA. You can give him a new coach, a new system, condensed schedule, bunch of kids. Overnight. I mean, Phoenix was good 3 weeks into the regular season. He figures it out. Boy, that is smart. That is having a feel for the game, which you can't quantify. That is being smart. And there's no data for that other than my eyes. It's like Tom Brady. When Tom Brady went to Tampa in 2019, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the second youngest team in the NFL. Old man Tom goes there, synthesizes all of it. Super Bowl. I mean, this is a bunch of kids. All Phoenix's best players are kids. Chris Paul not only glues it all together, he does it in the first month of the season. In Oklahoma City in the first month, he left, implodes. It's almost like it's invaluable. Or most valuable. Chris Paul. All right. Aaron Rodgers not showing up to camp. Okay, today's a day I'm going to defend Aaron. Because, you know, the fans get very upset with me when I don't defend him. Today's a defend Aaron day. I'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You're still running your business on QuickBooks? More like quicksand. Bigger it gets, faster it sinks. Try NetSuite by Oracle, offering one-of-a-kind financing. NetSuite.com/Herd, NetSuite.com/Herd. So Aaron Rodgers is not expected to join the Green Bay Packers mandatory minicamp. They could fine him, or they could give him an excused absence, which if I was Green Bay, I would do. You know, there's, you know, what's the point? You don't need him there. Let me just say this. In terms of just football, let's just talk football and not personality. It doesn't matter that he's not there. It doesn't matter. Tom Brady, no TAs, no minicamp, no preseason. New staff, won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers had no OTAs, no minicamp, no preseason, and won the MVP. L.A. Rams coach Sean McVay proved it to us. The old Neanderthal ways of football off seasons is a bunch of nonsense. If you're a top veteran player, you do not need to take a snap in the preseason or a minicamp. Forget OTAs and minicamp, and that's all this is that Aaron's missing. The preseason's overrated for Aaron Rodgers. Listen, if you're going to ask players to play now 17 games at a regulated level of violence, cut back on the off-season nonsense for the veterans. Jordan Love needs the snaps. I mean, let's be honest. He needs the snaps. I mean, Andrew Brandt used to work for the Green Bay Packers. He had a tweet this morning that, to me, said it all. Quote, the Packers would never admit it, but they'd be fine with Aaron skipping minicamp and some training camp. When Favre stayed in Mississippi those offseason, we got to see Aaron run the team. Great evaluation period. Packers now do the same with Love. This means nothing. This is all pettiness, right? Aaron is sticking it to them, and Green Bay can then stick it to Aaron and fine him. I do think there are these moments in business, in life, in sports. They're tipping point moments. And I do think when Tom Brady went to Tampa, no preseason, won a Super Bowl, it affected two players mostly in the NFL. Two other NFC players who have to compete against him, Russell Wilson. Russell's like, time out. got to get me some help. If they can re-sign all these players, you got to get me some help. Seattle activated it, got him help. Gabe Jackson, new coordinator, new wide receiver, new tight end, drafted a wide receiver. And I think it affected Aaron Rodgers, who said, the hell am I doing going to OTAs and minicamp? I just won the MVP not doing it, and I'm not getting my way anyway. I mean, my team's not getting me players. We keep drafting developmental offensive line, developmental tight ends, a running back who's not going to start, a quarterback who's a prospect. So today's a defend Aaron day. And you know, this used to be called a hold out. We got to come up with a new term. Hold on is the new term. If you miss OTA and a mini camp and you're a veteran star, it's not a holdout. It's a hold on. This really isn't necessary. And by the way, new rule. New rule number three on this show. Maybe it's four. Joy's keeping count. If you're the MVP and the team drafts your replacement, you can sit out minicamp. Let the new kid get the reps. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I don't know how good of a job I am doing of keeping track of the rules.
We have three or four.
We have a few of them.
Daniel Jones, we will know by Thanksgiving.
That's one.
Don't criticize Aaron Rodgers if he loses a shootout to Tom Brady.
Two.
I don't know the third. The third one is, if you're the MVP and a team drafts your replacement, you can sit out minicamp.
That's four. Three is that you said you weren't going to move again, which no one believes. Although, I will say the process of getting the house redone might...
signals a change in Uncle Colin's world.
You might set some roots in here in Los Angeles in that new home. So Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau has been named this season's Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
It is his first year with the team, and he improved the Knicks' regular season record by 20 wins and led them to the playoffs for the first time in 8 years.
Yeah.
It was a close race between him and Suns head coach Monty Williams, who actually received... two more first place votes, but Thibs edged out Williams due to the total points because of several more second place votes. So this is the second time he's won Coach of the Year. It was his first year with the Bulls in 2011. He won as well, and he's the first person to be named NBA Coach of the Year in his first season as head coach with two different teams.
Can I give a new award? NBA Coach of the Year after March 1st is Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan goes to Atlanta. And they suddenly play a little bit of defense. You got to give them credit now. Atlanta was kind of underachieving. Nobody talked about it. We don't pay attention to Atlanta in the NBA. Since he got to Atlanta, the Hawks are a different basketball team. Now, I know that's not going to beat Tibbs in New York and what he did, but Nate McMillan, tip of the cap, a late season replacement, has done a great job for the Hawks.
He's done an amazing job with the Hawks. So Thibodeau was one, Monty Williams was two, Quinn Snyder was three with the Jazz, Doc Rivers was four, and Nate McMillan was actually in fifth place with the voting. But Thibodeau
won by
11
votes.
Points. Yeah, he did. Now, a lot of people were upset about Monty, and Monty did win the NFL Coaches Association Coach of the Year. He improved the Suns by 17 wins this season and their first playoff appearance since 2010. But, you know, it was close. Like, I think Thibodeau is a deserving winner of this.
He actually gave the team a soul for the first time in 20 years.
And it's a regular season award, too, which is why they should just award it as soon as this season is over.
Yeah.
So Luka Doncic is eligible for a max extension with the Mavs this offseason, and he was not subtle about his future when he was asked if he'll be taking it.
Luka, you'll be eligible, assuming the All-NBA thing works out, you'll be eligible for the rookie Supermax extension. Is that something you intend on signing? Does that go without saying?
I think you know the answer.
Dealer's choice, Skyler.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I think you know the answer.
So yeah. Not a direct answer, but obviously it's a 5-year extension projected at $201.5 million. He is the star there. Yes, he's going to take that extension.
Yeah, the pressure is on Mark Cuban, not Luka. Luka's established himself as a all-time great at 22. Mark Cuban has got to get him a 2. The GM, Don Nelson, has to get him a 2. They couldn't do it with Dirk. Now, they won a title, so they deserve credit. They patchworked it together, an older Jason Kidd. But it is, don't waste it on the draft. We said this yesterday. Don't get him draft picks. This kid's 22. He plays like he's 28. Get him a star now. Go get him a star.
We've clearly seen how the NBA, how you build in the NBA if you want to be a successful franchise winning championships. Now, you can be consistent building through the draft and having a system and all those things, but that's not what you want to do with Luka at 22, who is an offensive machine. I think that they put together a nice squad, and I think they're still obviously a few steps away, but they've got to lean into it. They got to get him another star. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable, and he was carrying that team, and he deserves an extension, and I'm looking forward to watching him in the rest of his career.
Yeah.
So LeBron's season is over, but he has not moved on yet. He posted a video on Instagram from Gladiator, a clip from Gladiator, one of my favorite movies, top five favorite movie. With Russell Crowe's character saying, "I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." If you haven't seen it, I can't do it.
I've never seen it. No, I know it's the best movie I've never seen. I'm sorry, I've never seen the movie.
I don't know if you guys could hear Ryan yelling behind me.
I've never seen it. It's the only great movie.
I'm stunned.
I didn't see. There's another great.
You've also never seen Remember the Titans.
Didn't see Remember the Titans. Did not see. What is this called again? Braveheart?
Gladiator.
Gladiators. Yeah, I've never seen
it. No, not Gladiators. Gladiator. Gladiator one.
It's funny because I've seen like 9 Russell Crowe movies.
This is his best movie.
I know. It's crazy. Listen, I'm a very busy guy. I got a lot of kids. I can't see all these movies.
Work it in, Colin. this is a great movie, but it's a very influential line in the movie. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but... this is a very important line. Anyway, so LeBron is basically saying that he is he's going to be back full speed. It'll be his 19th season in the NBA. Of course, he's played in 1,577 career games, both regular season and postseason. So he's played 267 career playoff games, including the play-in game this year.
Ryan can't stop looking at me. I didn't see any of the Karate Kid movies either. I didn't see those movies. Those were all popular.
Is it fine?
I didn't see any of the Karate Kid movies.
I didn't see the first Karate Kid.
Didn't see any of them. I didn't see Gladiator. What was the other one? I didn't...
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans? Did not see that.
You would really enjoy Remember the Titans because you're a crier.
Occasionally.
You are a crier. It's okay. I'm a crier too.
I'm going to cry at Gladiator?
No. I don't think you'll cry. I might have cried at Gladiator, but I don't think you'll cry in Gladiator. You'll cry for Remember the Titans though. Nobody watches Remember the Titans and doesn't cry.
It isn't Denzel in that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of his movies, too. It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing movie.
I saw that Airplane movie he was in. I didn't like that one.
Airplane movie.
Denzel was in an airplane movie. Flight. I didn't like that. I've watched all those. It's funny. I'm watching all these guys' movies, just not the good ones.
Yeah, it's a strange strategy. You've never seen Training Day either, huh?
No, I've never seen that one. Listen, I like documentaries and independent films and weird stuff.
Yeah, stop watching the weird stuff. The documentaries are great. You can keep watching those.
Love documentaries.
Just work in Remember the Titans, Gladiator.
I apologize to America.
Training Day is a must.
All right.
Yeah.
My kids are watching a thing now on Netflix. It's called Money Heist or something.
yeah.
Oh, my daughter, my son.
My niece loves that show.
They cannot. I mean, my daughter.
It's supposed to be a really good show. Everyone I know who's seen it really likes it.
If she takes a master's, she'll do a thesis on Money Heist. My kids can't get enough of it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a great show.
All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Chris Broussard, Fox Sports, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Hey, Broussard, have you ever seen Gladiator?
I was just about to say, if it makes you feel any better, Colin, no, I have not. And I was ashamed to admit it till I heard you say it. So now I can say I've never seen Gladiator.
And by the way, he's got beautiful...
But next time my wife and I are looking for a movie, I'm going to watch it.
All right. So Broussard's also got beautiful kids, and they're college kids and stuff. Broussard and I are busy raising the future of America.
You're right. I have no children. That's why I have time to watch the best films ever.
Okay. Listen.
Did see Remember the Titans, though.
All right. There you go. You got me beat on that. So, I said to start the show, we understand in the NFL now, if you can draft a wide receiver or a linebacker, just go get the wide receiver. If you're going to hire a coach, hire an offensive guy. Dak Prescott, overpay him. It's quarterback. In the NBA, we're getting to that point. Ja Morant, Trae Young, Luka, Dame, Steph. Brooklyn does so many things that don't win in the playoffs. Defense, chemistry issues. I'm watching this series, and I'm like, Chris Middleton looks so irrelevant. I mean, have we reached a point in the NBA, Chris? We just got to get over a lot of stuff that we used to think was important. You get guys who are great offensively, it washes over everything else.
Yes, you're right. And you talk to people around the league, and you know, everybody might not feel this way, but a significant number of people I've talked to feel like it's about offense now. And the fact, Colin, with the floor so spread, right? Everybody spreads the floor and offenses are out. That toughness and size aren't quite as important as they used to be. I'm not saying they have no significance, but it's not like it used to be. Now it's about skills. It's about, can you handle the basketball? Can you shoot the basketball? Can you create off the dribble? And what you're seeing in this Brooklyn-Milwaukee series is the immense difference in a skill level on these two teams.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, because of their skills, are unstoppable, especially Durant because of his height. They're unstoppable. There's not one guy on Milwaukee that is unstoppable as great as Giannis is because he can't shoot from three, from 18 feet, from the foul line. He's not unstoppable, and you're backing up. They're daring him to shoot the three or shoot the jumper, and if he can't get to the rim, he has trouble scoring. And you brought up Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. I'll bring up Drew. The Bucks, people were throwing out big three, just willy-nilly. The Bucks big three. No, they don't have a big three. They don't even have a big two. All right? Big threes and big twos are guys that are going to the Hall of Fame. Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton are nice players. They're on again, off again, all-stars. You better put a future Hall of Famer with Giannis and do it as soon as you can if you want to have a shot at winning the East anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, let's shift to Giannis. So, you know, they're trying. At some point, you said this years ago, your game is your game. Okay, that your game's your game. And you're never going to make Kyrie Irving a great defensive player. Like, he's in his head, he's an offensive star. Your game's your game. And I look at Giannis, and they're trying to make him more of a shooter, right? Like, they got him shooting four threes a game. And it's like, they want him to be KD. And it's like, nah, he can't hit free throws. Like, we got to be honest with Giannis now. He's a very limited offensive player. And when you play him in a playoff series, Chris, so you see the same coaches, you can align a defense. He is becoming a regular season star and a postseason liability, or is that too harsh?
Yeah, I wouldn't say liability, but the expectation level is so high because he's a two-time MVP. He's, you know, an all-time great people start looking down at him. And this is what the Bucks have to worry about, and I'll get back to your question. As the pressure mounts on Giannis and he continues to go out in the postseason in the second round or second round, then he's going to start feeling the heat to win a championship. Same thing happened to LeBron James in Cleveland. I spoke to LeBron early in his career. I think he feels like us three plus Chris Healy could have won a championship with him early in his career. But as he began to lose year after year, he started feeling the heat, and he's losing the big threes in Boston. Orlando had a great team with Dwight Howard. Then you start to feel the pressure to go elsewhere, and that's Giannis is only a couple years away from that if Milwaukee can't bring him what he needs. But there's a great former great player who now works in the league. I wish I could give his name because it would give it even more credibility what I'm about to say. He has texted me and said, Giannis is a two. He's the second guy because you can't rely on him offensively. He doesn't have a shot he can go to get you a bucket. And when I think about number ones historically, Colin, I can't think of one that I couldn't go to get a bucket. Even if it was a big, a Shaq, an Olajuwon, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, they played in the post and didn't shoot jumpers, but they played in the post and they could score down low or get fouled and hit free throws. Giannis doesn't play down low enough. So now what? He's a perimeter guy that can't shoot. And so they have to get like a Dwayne Wade was for LeBron. LeBron wasn't as limited, obviously, as Giannis, but a Dwayne Wade, a Kyrie Irving, like that for Giannis to really have a chance to get further in the playoffs.
So Chris Paul last night in the third quarter, down 10, takes the game over. It's funny, Monty Williams Not going to get Coach of the Year. Chris Paul can't get nominated for MVP. Somebody's got to get credit there because they weren't good before those guys got there. But it was interesting. I said this earlier. Chris Paul is the opposite of Westbrook. He's not flashy. He's not a stat monster. But he plays so smart, whereas Westbrook can play out of control. And Chris has a feel for the game Westbrook's never had. Chris, it is amazing to me that New Orleans, Oklahoma City, and Phoenix, he not only wins, he does what LeBron can't do. He wins instantly. Phoenix has a bunch of 23-year-olds. It's a condensed schedule, Chris, so this was a bad practice year. It was not a year for practice. You did not have an extra day. It wasn't a good film or practice year. Isn't it kind of amazing? I don't even know what his comp is. That in 7 months in Phoenix, and they won the first month he was there, what does Chris Paul do? LeBron doesn't create chemistry like this initially. What is it? Is it just raw intelligence?
I mean, LeBron obviously leads to immediate success too, but they do it in different ways, as you said. And look, I voted Monty Williams my coach of the year. I had Chris Paul third on my ballot, just for the record. All right, but Chris, this is a perfect situation for him. What it is, Colin, is he's so smart. He is a basketball genius. We throw that at LeBron, and that's true too. But Chris Paul is a basketball genius, and Phoenix is the perfect situation. Oklahoma was as well, but they didn't have the talent. Phoenix is a young team, so nobody, you know, they're young. And a lot of these guys, remember, they grew up watching Chris Paul. So they know the legend. They know he is a future Hall of Famer and all-time great. So they're watching him. They admire him. So when he comes to the team, they're listening. They're all ears. Okay, then they've got the talent, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and then a few other guys. Booker has been in the league now several years and had all this individual success, put up big numbers, but never gets the love or the appreciation he should because they don't win. They haven't even made the playoffs. All of those things make the teammates listen to Chris. Now, where did he have issues? With the Clippers. They had a bunch of veterans. You know, some who had won elsewhere.
Yeah.
And they weren't trying to hear Chris chirp, 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 right? And these guys are willing to listen to it offensively and defensively. He can call out the opponent's plays and things like that on the defensive end. So it's his intelligence, and this group is listening to him. They're all ears. They're not bothered by him. And that's why they're having success.
All right, game one tonight, Clippers, Utah. I'm going to take the Jazz tonight. I got to, you know, they say styles make fights. I got to watch them play. I don't know who Utah has to stop Kawhi. I do like Utah in the game tonight. Your thoughts on the series and tonight?
Yeah, I like the Clippers in seven. I know that's saying a lot because that means they have to win in Utah in game seven. But I agree with you tonight. I think the Clippers are probably going to be emotionally spent after that series with Dallas. So I think, you know, then they're going on the road. It's a little altitude up there too. Big crowd. So I give Utah the game tonight. It's going to be interesting because Utah moves the ball and shoots. They got one guy that can break down a defense, and that's Donovan Mitchell. So I think Mitchell is going to have to be big in the series and create opportunities for his teammates at the three-point line. But I like it's a two totally different stylistically, two teams that are different that way. But I like the Clippers. I think, Colin, the Clippers are the best team remaining in the West. Now, that doesn't mean they definitely win it because I think these four are pretty close. But I think the Clippers have the best roster. And I think they're the only team left that can give Brooklyn some problems if they meet in the finals.
Well, yeah, they have some defensive guys that do match up pretty well with Brooklyn. Chris Broussard, who is also not seen Gladiator, and I am proud to say that if there's two people on the planet that haven't, I'm aligned with Chris Broussard. I'm good with that. Chris, good seeing you.
All right, Colin.
You bet. By the way, little item here that is substantial on Aaron Rodgers. He's talking to somebody else now. Behind the scenes, DMing. Do you know I got a DM last night from an NBA superstar? Did I tell you that?
You did not.
NBA superstar. I posted something and he wanted clarity. NBA star. I can't
Where'd
tell you.
Where'd you post it?
Huh?
Where'd you post?
I'm not going to talk about that. I have relationships.
Colin
I have a close personal relationship with an NBA star who DM'd me. It was funny. I told a buddy. I said, "You know who just DM'd me? Blankety blank." And he's like, "That's like the greatest thing in your career." He's like, "The rest of your career stinks. Who cares? That's the greatest moment in your career." And then I stopped following that friend on Instagram. So, yeah. I am Uncle Colin, America's Honesty Broker, is now collaborating and discussing.
You know everyone's just going to start guessing who it is now.
I'm not going to get into... Listen, I have to protect my sources. I'm a fan of this player.
He's a source, or he just asked you a question? Or he might develop into a source?
That's a good point. He's not a source. he's just an admirer of my work. He could become a source. That's the key. Journalism works that way.
Yeah. Gotta maintain these relationships.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in. Oh, I have a spot to read. Hot water never runs out. Navien tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. I have Bonzi Wells top of next hour. I covered Bonzi for years. Great player. Came out of Ball State. One of the best players ever out of Ball State. And now he's got a podcast with Rasheed Wallace called Let's Get Technical, which is the most appropriately named podcast in the history of the business.
You should be on their podcast. You covered
I
both
should.
Of them.
They, at the time, I was the bad guy, right? Although...
Well, that's when you were a local guy, right?
I was local back then. They were a fun team to cover. They were good. They had tons of talent. So this is something. I don't think Aaron Rodgers not going to OTAs is anything, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers not going to minicamp matters at all. Don't care. He's the MVP. Don't care at all. Don't fine him. Don't be petty. Just as an organization, sometimes individuals are petty. Organizations probably shouldn't be. ESPN Milwaukee, I take it this is a radio station. There's a guy there named Jason Wilde. And when Aaron talks to local people, he is one of the few guys that Aaron had a relationship with and trusted. So he had a tweet. This is something. He said, "I don't think that Rodgers has drawn a line in the sand that says there's no way on God's green earth I'm coming back." So that now makes four people close to Aaron Rodgers, guys he talks to, that have all said it's fixable. Jason Wilde, James Jones, who's on our show later, A.J. Hawk and John Kuhn, the fullback, all have said basically the exact same thing. It's fixable. So that is something. That means Aaron's talking to them. What would fix it? Well, we all know what would fix it. Get rid of the general manager. Not Mark Murphy, but the GM. So, and I said today is a defend Aaron Rodgers day. Let's simplify Aaron Rodgers' anger to just the next 60 seconds on this show. Go look, do it yourself, Google it. It works. Google the last two drafts for the Green Bay Packers. They have drafted a project at quarterback, can't help now, a running back in the second round with no chance to start, six offensive linemen, five are developmental. Only the center from Ohio State will play. And a cornerback in the first round that's a reach. He's not going to be an impact player now. So whereas Josh Allen gets a Stephon Diggs, and whereas Patrick Mahomes gets Joe Tooney in an offensive line that could help now, and Brady re-signs his guys, and Russell Wilson gets Gerald Everett and Gabe Jackson, and Jimmy Garoppolo gets Trent Williams, all help me now, guys. Aaron's saying, the last two drafts, it's all developmental guys. So I'm not going to go practice with developmental guys. Because they're not going to make an impact anyway. These guys aren't going to play. So when you draft a project quarterback, a running back that can't start, if you go look, I mean, one of the positions Green Bay they have a tight end right now. Like, it was a late round guy that's become great, but he was a developmental guy. So all the other star quarterbacks are getting help me now guys. He's getting developmental drafts. Folks, if I needed a producer and Fox gave me an intern, I'd be pissed. If I needed a producer to work on my show tomorrow, I'm not interested in teaching a 23-year-old kid that went to UCLA how to figure this stuff out. Get me a producer now. So Aaron's anger at the GM, to me, is justified beyond just the lack of communication skills. It's support Aaron Day on the Herd. Hour two next.